Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer, bringing you another message from God's Word. We're bringing you a series of studies now, have been for a few days, on a blood redemption. Yes, blood redemption as found in God's Word. And we're looking today in our subject as the great day of atonement. Do you know what atonement means, my friend? It's a covering. A great day of covering. When our Lord shed his blood there on the cross, he made a covering for our sin so that God cannot see our sin. Do you know that the death of Christ on the cross so satisfied justice until every sinner who comes to Christ, lays hold of Christ as his sin offering by faith, is set free from every sin? And when he reaches heaven, he'll not find one sin recorded there against him? I tell you that time after time, that there's no sin recorded against the old Trailblazer in heaven. No, sir, not one sin recorded. And let me give you a little example or a little illustration of sometimes I see how that works. Back in the olden days, before they had paper and pencil, they used a wax tablet to write things down on, and folks went to where they could buy goods and items, and the man would write on a wax tablet what you got, what your bill was, like we did when I was a child back there at the old store. But anyhow, when you came in to pay your bill, he took a warm smoothing iron, passed it over that wax tablet, and it obliterated or annihilated all of those records. That record there was recorded against you. So when the Lord died on Calvary, all of my sins were annihilated. That's right. There's no record of sin against the old Trailblazer. And it's the only safe place from the wrath of God for any sinner. Because there's where judgment fell upon the sinner's sins in the body of Christ. God judged our sins in Christ and punished him as our substitute, my friend. I tell you that day after day, the one who took our place, we must have a substitute. Every sinner has to have a substitute. You can't be saved without a substitute. Oh, we have all of this modernism today, easy believingism, where you just join the church, make a decision for Jesus, or you come up in certain religious organizations. They sprinkle you when you're a baby and give you a certificate of baptism, and that way they claim that is salvation. That's not salvation, my friend. That doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation is a deliverance from sin. The Bible says every man is a sinner. Listen to Ephesians 2:1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." He's speaking to everyone who's ever been saved. At one time, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen, folks, I never get tired of telling how the Lord saves a sinner. No, that's exactly what happened to me one day. To me, this poor old sinner. Justice was satisfied in Christ. The Lord God of heaven is satisfied now. And listen, sinner, you tell me you want to be saved. Why can't you be satisfied with the death of Christ? Won't you run to him? Hasten to him? Don't do like Adam and Eve did there in the garden. They ran from the Lord. Ran over there and started making a fig leaf aprons out of some bushes. But listen, my friend, you can stand there under Calvary and look all around, defy the alligator, defy Satan, defy your sin. And listen, under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, look Satan in the face and tell him to go to hell for his trouble. You can stand there with the blood applied to the doorpost of your heart, look the law in the face, challenge the law to condemn you, and everyone who is cleansed by the blood of Christ is now not under the law, but under grace. And you can say with assurance, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Oh, my friend, I wish you could just listen this morning. But listen also, sin, grace, gives no one a license to sin. No, you let that soak in. No, it doesn't matter. When I preach you how Christ died for sinners, you can't run out and say, "Oh, well, I'm saved now. I live like I want to." Well, you just lost as you can be, my friend. I know we're living in a day of free willism and believingism, in a day that the average individual thinks that because he says he's trusting Jesus for salvation, he can go on in sin and be saved at the end. When he comes down to death, be saved. I have folks tell me, "Oh, Uncle Tom, he got away from the church and he went to drinking and carousing around and running around with women, but he's come back now to the church and he come back and prayed through." Well, my friend, no such a doctrine is taught in God's Word. That God hates sin. God abhors sin. Cries out against sin. Listen, my friend. Listen. He The sinner is the one who can stand under Calvary's tree where the blood was shed and defy every sin to destroy him. Blood redemption by grace makes a sinner a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, brother, we ought to get that truth. May the Holy Spirit drive it home to your heart this morning, early this morning, out there somewhere in your old 18-wheeler cross country. Maybe you were just hearing the Path Trailblazer for the first time. I wish you'd sit down and write me next time you get to a truck stop. Sit down, take a postcard there out of the rack and send it to me. The old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana. And tell me, say, old Trailblazer, I heard you up here somewhere, and give me a location where you're hearing me from. Christ suffered enough on the cross to put to death all of our sins. That's right. He put to death all of our sins. Now, my friend, that's one of the greatest truths that I can ever give you. The Lord put to death all of our sins. There's no sin lingering in the old Trailblazer's heart, in the life. No. There's no such a thing as living in sin. Man asked me, can a man get saved living in adultery? And I said, no, sir. No, sir, I didn't have to stop and think. No, because of the death of Christ on the cross, the arm of God has been released from the bondage in which justice held it, and he's now able to save to the uttermost everyone who will come to him through Christ. You say, Pastor, did Christ die for me? Listen, my friend, yes, he died for you. And don't say he didn't. Don't say he didn't. You may say, listen, I'm a blasphemer. Yet Christ died a blasphemer's death. You may say, well, you don't know me. You don't know my heart. I'm stained with all types of lust. And yet, my friend, Christ died for just such a character as you. I wish you'd take your Bible and go through the New Testament and see whom the Lord died for. See who the Lord saved. See who the Lord called in his earthly ministry. Then you may say, well, Pastor, you don't know how I've traveled around, turned back, going back to the world many, many times, denying the Lord. But let me tell you, on the basis of God's word, listen, my friend, listen, could I just take you by the hand and look you in the face? Christ died for just such a character as you are. Oh, if I could just hold you by the hand, if I could sit down by your side and look you in the face. And as I do here occasionally, I see folks here in the tabernacle, and I say, did you know Christ died for sinners? Did you know Christ died for sinners just like you are? Folks want to hang their head. I ask folks, has the Lord saved you yet? They hang their head. But listen, Christ died for sinners? Is that too strong? Is that too hard to believe, my friend? Come, recognizing you deserve to die. Come, recognizing you are just an object of mercy, and your only hope is Christ. That's the only hope you have. Do you not feel your need of Christ now, my friend? Early there this morning, maybe you've wrestled all night with sin and Satan. If you do, if you see that need, look to the Lord. He's your only hope. Yes, Christ died on the cross as our sin offering, as our substitute, and he's our only hope. Oh, listen, folks. What is your hope? Who is your hope? Can you say that? Christ is my hope. On Christ, a solid rock I stand. All other hope is a sinking sand. Can you say that? Now let's look at this great truth. Not only was Christ crucified according to the Scriptures, but he was buried. There are three great truths, three great facts that stand out in the gospel. One is that Christ died. That's our hope. That Christ died. Did you know that had Christ not died, there'd be no salvation of a sinner? That's right. Go back there when the Lord looked into the cup there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Now, listen. Go back there with me. If the Lord God of heaven had answered that prayer, there'd be no salvation. But he didn't do it. And the Lord acknowledged it. He said, but not my will. Thy will be done. Listen now, those three great truths, let me give them to you again. The first is that Christ died. The second is that Christ buried. And the third is that he arose. Yes, he was buried. Let me give you that story. They came there, old Joseph of Arimathea and old Nicodemus, the old sneaky Nicodemus who came to the Lord by night. Did you know he was afraid that some of his folks would see him talking to the Lord? Are you like that? Are you afraid to be identified with Christ's people or Christ himself? Are you ashamed to take your place as a sinner and come to the Lord crying out for mercy? Are you ashamed to do that? Listen, old Nicodemus, the Lord didn't cast him away because he came there by night. But here we see him and old Joseph, old rich Joseph, had a new tomb dug out there in the side of a hill somewhere in Joseph's garden. They took that body down from the cross. Listen now, I wish you'd listen. May we have time to get into it. They carried it to the tomb. But before they did, they embalmed it. They prepared it for the grave. Did you know how they did back those days? They got all of the spices and the sweet-smelling things and all, and they wrapped that body in white linen. You know what white linen is? It's like a sheet. It's a soft linen cloth. And they wrapped that body from the head, from the neck all the way down to the toes. And they put those sweet-smelling perfume, those buds of cloves, of olives, those sweet-smelling things. I don't know what all they call them, but you can find it out very easily. And they wrapped that body in a sheet. First of all, they cleaned it. Cleaned it with olive oil, got all the scars, got all the blood, the dried blood. And then they bound it up with olive oil in that sheet. And they laid it there in Joseph's garden. Listen now, folks. In the tomb, Christ became our scapegoat. You remember? We're talking about the good man, the fit man, carried the scapegoat off into the countryside and turned him loose where he could never come back, symbolizing how that our Lord would carry our sins to the tomb. He did. He took our sins to the tomb. He carried them there on his body, bodily, carried them there to that tomb. And they laid him there on that slab and wrapped in a white linen and with a napkin laid over his face, and they shut the door. They rolled a stone to the door, and old Pilate had his soldiers to guard that door. They put the Roman seal on that door, and they had their soldiers stand there outside the door, make sure that no one would come and move him so that they could say he arose from the dead. But none of that altered our Lord's purpose. Not one thing did they change. No, because our Lord lay there 3 days and three nights, and then he arose, according to the Scriptures. Listen, do you know all of our sins were laid on Christ as he was carried there to the cross? Listen, he carried them to the cross. He paid the full price for them. And then when they took that body from the cross, laden with our sins, carried it and buried it in the tomb. So he carried our sins into the tomb with him. Oh, listen. We'll take it up there in our next study, but let me ask you this morning, do you know that Christ? Is Christ real to your heart? Oh, listen, my friend. We have a little booklet here, The Reality of Christ. And if you'd write me, I'd send it to you by late Pastor L.R. Shelton. I'll send it to you free and postpaid. You just ask me for that book on the reality of Christ. And then, if you're not saved, let me send you another booklet on fleeing, sinner's flight from reality. Do you know folks don't want to face reality? You don't want to face it yourself. You don't want to face it that one day you're going out to be eternity to be where? Where are you going to spend eternity? In heaven with the Lord or in hell? Where are you going to spend it? That's a fact, my friend. You're going to spend it somewhere. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't put your head in the sand and cover it up. Hold your fingers in your ears. My friend, you and I are going to die one day. And we're going to meet what? Meet the Lord in mercy or in judgment. The old trailblazer longs to see you saved. The old trailblazer longs to hear you crying out, Lord, have mercy upon me. Did you know the Lord will save you? He paid our sin debt. But do you know how to come to him as a sinner? Poor old sinner and nothing at all. Oh, but my Lord is all in all. That's what old Happy Jack sang. I'm just Happy Jack and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. I wish you could say that this morning, my friend. I wish you knew him. This is the Old Trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Remember, my mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I wish you'd sit down and write me. Send me a generous offering for the broadcast here and say, Old Trailblazer, go on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. And I want to help you with the broadcast. Until next time, may God's blessings rest upon you. Goodbye.